during this time, they say what these the what the researchers know. This is what I figured out, was that during the oceans during this time were much richer in dissolved silica than they are today, which enabled the loose sand. No, it was mud. Here's where they throw in sand. It was mud. I call them mud fossils. They say, oh, sand. No, it isn't. It's mud. And to create around the animals to form rock in over a matter of hours or years. I created mud fossils myself. It took about 6 months. And I told them that too. So
well,
they
don't
say
you
it
have
could
an
have
article
happened.
Of a woman or a girl that was fossilized into solid rock using silica in 45 minutes.
If you've been following recent developments, you're likely aware of the ongoing transformation in the global economy. The BRICS nations are actively advocating for the replacement of the dollar as the world's reserve currency, and an increasing number of countries are aligning with their efforts. Concurrently, the stability of the Western banking system is facing unprecedented challenges, reaching a level of fragility not seen since the 2008 financial crisis. The reputable Weiss Research Group, known for accurately forecasting bank failures with 99.3% accuracy since 2008, now anticipates a substantial risk of over 4,000 banks facing vulnerabilities, with a fourth of them on the brink of imminent failure. According to their data, all the experts are predicting a major economic collapse more impactful than the crash of 1929. Historically, precious metals have proven to be resilient assets during such economic uncertainties. Now is an opportune moment to consider acquiring gold and silver to safeguard your family's financial well-being. For the most reliable service and the best prices on gold and silver, I recommend Miles Franklin at info@milesfranklin.com. When you contact them, mention Sarah sent me. It ensures you receive the best service and pricing available in the country. That's a guarantee from them to me. Take proactive steps now to secure your assets and protect your loved ones. Contact info@milesfranklin.com and let them know Sarah sent you.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. You are just hearing this on audio. For many people just listen to me on audio, but for those of you who also watch me on video, you're just getting me on audio today because I had to redo. We had some issues with the intro. I needed to redo it, but I'm out of town and away from my studio because it's Easter weekend. We're with family. So I'm redoing this intro for the show. But I wanted to tell you, I have the researcher Roger Spurr joining us. Man, is he interesting. I think you will find his information just, it's pretty over the top, but it's really fascinating. He has a channel called Fossil University on YouTube with hundreds of thousands of followers. And I really wanted to understand more what it was that he was discussing. And I got to say, his information is absolutely incredible. And I don't even know what to think about some of the things that he said to me. It's, I got to be honest, some of it's just clearly out of my Overton window, and it will be out of yours too, for most of you. But this is a super long interview. So what I did is I just took parts of it so that you can get an idea of what we're talking about. And if you're interested in seeing more, I put the whole thing for my Substack subscribers. I put the whole video up there for them. So if you are a subscriber, you'll be able to see it. I also give out 7-day free trials. And if you cannot afford to be a free subscriber, just let me know. Actually respond to me in Substack somewhere. Do a reply. If you're already on my newsletter, my Substack newsletter, just reply. It goes to me. But put in the title that you need help with the subscription, and then I'll see it. I'm literally behind, I have over 22,000 emails that I haven't even opened. I get way too many emails. And so what I try to do is I scan through things that are important. And when it comes to my subscriptions, those are important. And I'm looking for people who, if you can't afford it, I give out a lot of subscriptions. If you can't afford it, I'm looking for people who are on a pension and they really don't have the money, or in another country and they make, $10 a day or something. It just, people who really can't afford it. If you're somebody who's making six figures and you just don't want to pay for it, that's not you. I mean, I got to make a living too. So, but I want to make sure this information is out to everybody. So anyway, so that's going to be up there. But what we're going to show publicly is really fascinating. And he shows you his DNA tests of these giant fossils and CAT scans, and shows you that they were actually human, these giants. I mean, what is that about? And he has over 50 papers on academia.edu. I mean, he takes this really seriously. And I think there's something really behind this. I don't know if I can put it all in the context that he does, because I need to learn more. Like I said, it's out of my Overton window a little bit. And so I need to learn a little bit more of what this really means to our history and to, and then what parts, just, he's one researcher coming up with amazing information. And as with anything in science or truth, you need multiple people coming together, debating it and figuring out what's true and not true. But this guy has some really incredible information that academia, and he'll show you, there are people in academia that not only took his work seriously, they published reports or published papers, they changed it and put it into the context they believed, or they just changed it because they didn't want people to hear it from his perspective. But they took his work, and you'll see proof on some of that. And then he also tried to get NASA some information on the speed of light. And I mean, he doesn't just get into fossils. This guy gets into all sorts of science and all sorts of areas. This, you know, he's very, really smart people or creative and intelligent people get into many different areas, and he's no exception. So hope you appreciate this show. And if you want to hear more, you can go to sarahwestall.substack.com, and then you can find the full interview there. And I also want to tell you, I just published a AI generated message for Easter coming from our friends in Ireland. It was based on the historical figure, Michael Collins. They recreated his image and then had him give a speech. They're very, very concerned at what's going on in Ireland. They believe that Ireland is falling, and they think the whole West is going to be in that situation soon. And they're just very concerned, and that people need to be aware and stand up. And for those of you who don't know who Michael Collins is, I wrote an article about it that on my website and on my Substack, so you can get an idea who he was. And you can go to sarahwestall.com and see that, or my Substack and see that. And the name of the article and where you'll find this message, or any of my platforms too, you'll find the message. But the article is with this video. If you're watching this soon after I release it, it'll be right on my front page, right on top. But if you listen to this a month later or something, you're going to have to search for it. So the title is Michael Collins Returns to Send the World a Message, Easter Rising 2024. And this is based on the Easter Rising that they did back in 1916, which was an armed resistance. There was a group of people wanting to break free from in Ireland, wanting to break free from the British, who occupied them since the 1200s. And they wanted a sovereign nation. And so they had an uprising in 1916, and that gave people courage and more motivation to actually fight this. And Michael Collins was a major leader in this effort. He was the director of intelligence for the Irish Republican Army and the government minister of the new Irish Republic. And they were fighting for their independence, and they eventually negotiated their right to their own sovereign state, you know, Ireland, separate from England. And that was a big victory in the eyes of many, but many believe that he was duped into signing and the agreement that only changed the public perspective or perception of independence, while the major institutions such as banking were still under the control of England. And so that created a civil war in Ireland at that time. And many of you remember how there was, up through the 80s, there was a lot of fighting still going on in Ireland. Well, a lot of it was based on this. And many people believe that many countries like the United States and Canada and others were duped into signing their own independent agreement, only to be in a situation where they still control a lot of our institutions through the City of London, our banking through the City of London. So this is something that I think resonates with all of us around the world, or many countries around the world. And there was a movie that was done in 1996, which starred Liam Neeson, on Michael Collins' life. So if you want to watch that, it garnered 4 movie awards and 17 nominations, and of which 2 were Academy Award nominations. So it's a pretty good movie, which you can still get on Amazon. And the tagline for that movie was, "Michael Collins, the man in the movie stands tall. The man is a hero whose fighting tactics became a model for other 20th century struggles." It's a good movie. I watched it before I did this because I wanted to understand his background, who this was. And then I watched the AI rendering of Michael Collins before I put it up. And you know, I've been friends with the activists. It's an underground activist movement in Ireland. And I've been friends with particularly one person, and I'm not going to name names, and they asked to stay anonymous. And I agreed to publish it. So I hope you watch it. And it's inspirational on how leaders aren't perfect, and that it needs to be the people that rise up and have the courage to bring our own freedom. Great message if you listen to it. It's about 20 minutes long. But before I get into this really interesting conversation with Roger Spur, I need to talk to you about New Matrix. It's the cream that you put on your face. I know a lot of people want to look younger, and the best way to look younger is by building up your collagen. And this New Matrix gives you this niacin flush, which so your face turns really red for about 10 minutes, and it tricks your face into generating its own collagen. It's like going to getting microneedling at a spa that costs hundreds of dollars each treatment. This is like that. For each time you put this application on, it's like a treatment of microneedling. And I've had multiple people now come back to me. I always want to get people tell me whether something works for them. I'm getting multiple people saying, wow, this stuff really does work. And of course it does, because it builds up your collagen. You have to give it about 6 weeks before you really start seeing a difference. And it's like exercising. In order to really see a difference with your body, you need to exercise daily, right? You need to eat good foods daily. And then over time, you really start noticing a difference. It's like the same thing with this new matrix. If you put this on your face and you are committed to it, then over time, you will really see a marked difference in the collagen buildup and the aging of your skin. You'll look younger. Your wrinkles will go away. Your sagging will go away. I mean, it's not going to be, if you have extreme sagging, you're not going to be able to get rid of it without doing something else, which I do not promote plastic surgery. I hope I never have to get, I don't like any of that stuff. I don't want injections. I want natural ways to look younger. And this is one of those natural ways. So I will have the link below if you're interested in this. And if you're listening to it where you can't see the link below, just go to sarahwestall.com under shop and you'll see it there as well. It's called New Matrix. It'll really help with your collagen. Okay. Now we're getting into the Roger Spur interview. Again, if you want to see the entire interview, go to sarahwestall.substack.com. And here I go with Roger Spur. Hi, Roger. Welcome to the program.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually really excited about this because we're going to be talking about the Greek gods and how they were real, and based on your research. And I'm always interested in kind of getting out of our paradigms and exploring things, and people to think about different, you know, just think differently and see what was really the truth. What got you into exploring this? Because it's such an interesting diversion.
Well, I discovered some things on my property that I couldn't explain. They looked like human body parts, which they were, because I had them DNA tested, because they were extraordinarily large. One fingertip was 3 feet long.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I could show you all these things. I might lose you here. Hold on one sec. I'm going to close that. No, we're good.
Okay.
I could show you. Let me just show you the fingertip I found.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I think you can see my screen, right?
Yep, I can see it.
Okay. Now, let me show you. This is a fingertip. This one right here is a fingertip from one of the giant hands that I have here. I have the whole hand from this one, but you see this little crease right there?
Yeah.
That's where the fingernail was.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is
okay.
This is what's called a 2D CAT scan, where you can see very, very fine surface features. Jesse Garant and Associates did 7 CAT scans for me. And this is the back of the fingertip. And this right here is a bone. All right. This right here, see this round spot?
Yep.
That's a tendon. And this is also a tendon. Now, this one is black and this one's white. That's because of the two different colors of the blood coming up here. You see the little hole there? That's a blood hole. That's a blood hole. Now, this is a good size fingertip, but it's only about 8 inches long. Now, the hand that it came from is a little over 3 feet wide. Now, I do have other ones that are substantially larger. And that's this one here.
How does this earth support things that big?
Yeah, that's the key. I can't tell you how it's here. And when I show you the things that, like Typhon, is going to blow your mind. All right, now I showed you, this is a fingertip. Now just take your time and look. You see the fingernail?
I don't. I see a rock, but I see what you're outlining.
All right, just give yourself a little time to let it sink in. This is actually a fingerprint. I mean, a fingernail.
And now, you had it DNA tested, and then you had it scanned. I'll show you. Okay.
Yeah, no question whatsoever. This little pad right here, see that round circle? That's where there's a little pad in between bones so they don't scrub each other. That's that. This is the vein and artery here. This piece right here, I had to break off right on the edge of the fingerprint, a fingernail. And when I broke it off, and like I say, this is 3 feet long from front to back here, 3 feet. And when I broke this piece off, it still has the fingerprints. See it? You see those two little dots right there? And this going through? That's these sweat pores. This came right off near where the fingernail was.
Well, and you got it DNA tested and you got it CAT scan. So there's the person who did the DNA testing and CAT scan. What did they say?
They said 100%, no question whatsoever. It was human DNA. And it was
human?
It was modern human. Here's the report right here.
How are we so much smaller?
This size was nothing. The one that I showed you the big fingertip from, I figure he was 160 to 180 feet tall. That's nothing. That's tiny.
Well, they found on Antarctica, they found huge pyramids with huge doors in these pyramid structures. Massive doors.
Those are little tiny things.
Huge compared to our doors. I mean,
yeah. Well, here's the key. Jesus Christ said that Earth is a corpse, and that I'll show you the quotes in a minute. But here's the DNA reports. Now I had three tests done, three mud fossil samples. Yeah. Now, they did PCR extraction. This is serious stuff. This is not your cheap swab. I drilled into these deep. And I had that 36-inch tip done, the big one. I had a lung done, which the thing is almost so perfect you could almost transplant it. And then I had that fingertip I showed you in the CAT scan. That was done. Now, this is what they did from all of these three tests. And all of the tests came out positive for mitochondrial human, modern human DNA, but mother's side. Now, here's what they did. The products, the PCR products, which is the extraction products, were submitted to Eaton Biolabs for DNA sequencing. And they used the PCR products, also used in the DNA sequencing. Excellent quality DNA sequence was obtained for the 36-inch tip. I drilled right into blood. I know where the arteries are and the veins, and I know where everything is on these. So I drilled right into the artery, took out literal blood. So from the 36-inch tip and from the lung, those were both like literally, they were blood.
Are you ready to take control of your health in today's toxic world? Look no further. Masterpiece is here, setting the gold standard for holistic detoxification. Masterpiece, the natural master binder, features nanosized zeolites combined with marine plasma nutrition. And here's the groundbreaking news. In initial trial results, users have experienced an astonishing 70% removal of toxins after just 60 days of use. Say goodbye to forever chemicals and heavy metals. Masterpiece is a game changer, efficiently capturing graphene oxide, arsenic, mercury, and over 85 other heavy metals. Not to mention, it tackles forever chemicals like microplastics and PFAS, a group of over 4,700 man-made chemicals lurking in everyday products. Users are reporting incredible benefits: more energy, heightened mental clarity, and better sleep. One user happily exclaimed, "The mental fog is just gone." And the best part, Masterpiece is affordable. For just $52.99, you get a 2-month supply that can transform your life. Visit sarahwessel.com under shop or click the link below to grab yours today. Don't keep this breakthrough to yourself. Spread the word to family and friends. Masterpiece is not just a product, it's a life changer. Act fast and get yours today at sarahwessel.com or with the link below.
The quality of the third one was not quite as good, the mud tip. But here's what it ended up being. 36-inch tip and the lung were both Homo sapien mitochondrial cytochrome B gene and mitochondrial D loop region, both of them, Homo sapien mitochondrial. That's the mother side. And this was not a cheap deal. This was expensive. It took 3 months to do it. And I did it because Yale had turned me down. They wouldn't even look at the stuff.
Well, and they thought you were a weirdo. And then they... these guys did it, so that's good.
Yeah, well, this guy got attacked for doing it. I know he did. They did an absolutely marvelous job, fabulous job. Absolutely the best.
Why would he get attacked? Well, I know the answer to that, but that's ridiculous.
They fire people. They fired a lot of people for finding things that they didn't want them to find. That's the academic way. It's denial.
Well, they also don't want anything that they think, yeah, it has to be within their paradigm. Otherwise, you're out.
What I found destroys academia in every single realm, 100% across the board. I don't care what it is, 100%. And here's what I'm going to tell you. My research destroys geology, 100%. History, 100%, archaeology, anthropology, all the timelines that we've ever thought were real, 150 million years ago, this happened, da, 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 da. Oh, that's all wrong. Human evolution, God, creation, proof of the flood. I have absolute 100% proof of the flood. It was the Triassic era. And the Triassic era was when there was 3 layers of sediments worldwide, everywhere on Earth. It's called the Triassic. Tri means 3 layers: red bed, gray cray, clay, and black cap. And that's when Venus almost hit Earth and caused this. And it was also called the Great Dying. Everything on Earth died.
Venus. Yeah.
That was from the Great Flood. And Venus was, Velikovsky was. Worlds in Collision, and he was destroyed by academia for writing it. He was number one on the bestseller list 11 weeks in a row, number one on the New York Times bestseller list, and they forced the publisher to withdraw the book.
Yeah, I had one of his co-workers, or somebody who was actually a student of his who's older now, I tracked him down and did an interview with him on Velikovsky. This was, everything's pre and post COVID, but this was like when I was still on YouTube and wasn't censored as much. Very interesting stuff. I would love to dive into what you know more about the Greek gods and why you think they were real. If you want to see the rest of this topic, it will be airing on sarahwessel.substack.com. And here is another portion of the interview that I did with Roger.
But we're talking about
it is pretty crazy. This stuff is really interesting. You have hundreds of thousands of followers on YouTube and elsewhere. And your stuff is really popular. Where can people find, and if they're really interested in this, dig into what you have? Because you also have art, you publish articles, scholarly articles, and research, and all sorts of things. Where
Yeah,
can,
I have.
go ahead.
Well, if here, let me just show you. I'll just show you how to do it. I'll go right here. If I go to academia.edu, all right, and put my name in Roger Spur, and then I think I got like 45 papers up there. Now, this is the first paper. Well, this is the one that started me off. Was fascia-facilitated fossilization. All right, and nobody knew about, nobody even knew about fascia at this point in time. It was just thought it was. I discovered a new body organ. I seriously,
You were
you
the
see,
first one talking about it before they actually brought it forward. That's
yeah,
interesting.
nobody knew about it, and now it's considered the most important organ in the whole body.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's interstitium, yeah. So I said, if not for fascia, you'd be a bag of gushy mixed organs and just will fall apart. Fascia is the membranes that hold you together, and it's also creates springs and strings inside of you. The ancients called it tunica, which is like a cloak that wraps around everything. It's a membrane. And I say that it's a giant system. It's a sheet that wraps around everything. It comes together in one giant system. And I call it a silicon network. Anyway, I showed 50 times higher silicon in the skin and area. Here it is right here. Fascia is a tubular fluid-filled fabric network. Fascia is a tubular fluid-filled fabric network. And it goes all the way through your entire body. And that's what carries around. Now they call it the fluid-filled highway. But anyway, I have a bunch of papers up here on academia. And I do everything. I have the light research and all this. But here's the skinny on the whole thing. Fascia is instrumental in perfectly preserved fossilization in wet, fine, continuously wet mud. The product can be exact copies of living creatures, flesh, colors, and all. Blood and everything is in it. And then Yale took credit for my research. Here's their
That
paper.
okay.
I submitted all this to Derek Briggs, this guy right here at Yale. And there's their paper a year later from the paper I just showed you. It's the exact same paper talking about exceptional
Oh,
preservation
that's too
of
bad they did
soft-bodied
that.
creatures.
Well,
They just took it.
I've seen a lot of that from universities. That's terrible. I guess
Well,
it's
this guy
people
is
being
Derek
people.
Briggs. Yeah, well, I gave all of my research to him, Derek Briggs. And he's supposed to be the big shot. Well, here's their touting about this on campus, about how they did all this research. Here's how it starts out here. This is October 2016. Mine was from 2015. My CAT scans, my DNA tests, all from 2015. And this is from Yale. Boy, we're so smart. We did all this. And Etacara biota just means, biota just means creatures. Etacara means they gave it a name. And it's all sea creatures because the whole world was nothing but sea. All right, earliest. Now listen to this. This is how bad Yale is, how incompetent the people there are. This is the earliest community of complex sea creatures, lived in a warm, slimy petri dish. Yet we likely wouldn't know about it at all, except for the chemistry of the ancient oceans. And this is where that silica comes from. Remember I showed you 50 times more silica was found in the skin? Well, that's why, because it was from the siliceous ooze that came up from the ocean floors. And they know about this, and they say they would never have known about it except for this silicon. So here it is right here. The operation, unusual mechanism, preserved impressions of the creatures for soft bodies for hundreds of millions of years. No, it wasn't hundreds of millions. Now, they say it takes its name from a fossil deposit in South Australia. I'm 20 miles from Yale. They could have walked over here and see what I have. And they're saying it was found worldwide, worldwide, not just there. It's worldwide. It's one layer called the Triassic, worldwide. 541 million years ago. The creatures themselves were small, as a few millimeters, as large as 3 feet or so, 1 meter. And they lived in communities on the sea floor. Well, how was it worldwide?
So what parts of this do you you're disagreeing with parts of it and agreeing with other? They took your research, recreated this, and then changed it to some of the things that they believe or they don't want to have out there. So what specific...
They used almost literally 100% of my research, but I told them it was recent, and it is. All my stuff is on the surface of the earth. Nothing was buried. They're saying 541 million years ago. No, it was 3,500 years ago. 3,500, not 541 million. And they say that the whole world was found worldwide, worldwide. But they say it was only on the sea floors. Well, the whole world was the sea floor because the world was one gigantic flood.
I see it. So basically, they took all your research and just changed the paradigm around it, but used all your research as the base.
Right. So we're talking about the Triassic era, right? So the Triassic was the three layers I talk about, was when Venus almost hit Earth. Velikovsky had it all recorded. And I actually have a human footprint in the middle of those three layers. So people were walking around here during the Triassic, no question about that. Now, they want to understand, here's the deal. These creatures, outright bizarre in appearance, do not resemble any organism alive today. They got this so far wrong, it's unbelievable. They want to understand if anything back then is related to anything there is here now. They say a big part of the answer involves figuring out how the fossils were able to form. I figured it out. It's nucleophilic substitution and invasion. I got all the chemistry done and everything. Now, the animals themselves, listen to this, were entirely soft bodied. No, they weren't. They lived before the evolution of shells, teeth, or bones. Incorrect. Why are they say those are only things that normally get fossilized. No, that's not true at all. Mud fossils does the entire creature, the entire creature. Now, see, here's what they say right here. During this time, they say what the researchers know, this is what I figured out, was that during the oceans during this time were much richer in dissolved silica than they are today, which enabled the loose sand. No, it was mud. Here's where they throw in sand. It was mud. I call them mud fossils. They say, oh, sand. No, it isn't. It's mud. And to create around the animals to form rock in over a matter of hours or years. I created mud fossils myself. It took about 6 months. And I told them that too. So
well,
they
don't
say
you have an article of a woman or a girl that was fossilized into solid rock using silica in 45 minutes.
Yeah. Well, she didn't, it's not solid rock, but she was, it was transitioned into to stone-ish material, but not solid rock.
Oh, so stone-ish material that would have formed into rock after about 6 months, but enough so that she doesn't dissolve and just go
Okay. Now I'm doing an experiment right now. I got some silica and I got soaking some a couple of mice that I caught in the traps, and I got them soaking in the silica rich waters, but it's cold. It's in my garage. It's in the middle of the winter, and I don't think it's turned solid, but I don't think the mice have turned solid. But I'm just going to leave it there until summer and see what happens. But they might have turned solid. I don't know. But listen to what they're saying. Everything I told them, they're just saying it could have happened in hours or years instead of thousands of years that it normally takes. Now listen to this. The Etikara ore was rapidly buried by sand during underwater storm events. Well, it's found worldwide. Underwater storm events, rapidly buried. That's because it was a worldwide flood. They convolute everything and make it sound like some special thing. It's just a worldwide flood, boiled all the creatures, turned all the red flesh into the red bed, turned the other stuff into the gray clay, the bones and the tendons and all that. And then the heavy duty black cap came down on top. All right. And then they say all of this stuff. The team conducted his research using detailed microscope. This is all my microscope shots. Research was able to.
Did they
to
use
measure.
All your pictures too? They didn't even.
I don't know what they used. I'm sure they didn't use my stuff. You can find this stuff everywhere. But here's the guy. The paper was co-authored by Yale postdoctoral associate Dale Briggs. He was the big shot. I go to the top guys in the world. I've gone to the top guys for all my research, and every one of them has been a dismal, incompetent failure. And he is the worst of the worst. And he's Evelyn Hutchison, professor of geology and geophysics, curator of invertebrate paleontology, Yale Peabody Museum, natural history. He should be out washing windows. All right, and who paid for this? You and I paid for this. Supported by National Science Foundation, Earth Science Postdoctoral Fellowship, grant from American Philosophical Society, Clark Fund, money from NASA exobiologists, a NASA postdoctoral fellowship, foundations for this and that, NASA autobiologists. And the reason NASA got a hold of Yale, I'm sure NASA got a hold of Yale to do this study, because I got a hold of NASA. And I said, you got all kinds of fossils on Mars. Everything is here on Earth is on Mars, identical. Did you know that?
No. Well, we do know that there's enough evidence to show that Mars used to be a water planet or a watery planet.
Well, let me show you what Mars is, because I sent all of this to NASA, and I said, you guys missed everything. The Curiosity rover, I knew all about this stuff years and years ago, and here's what I sent to you. I have so much more, Sarah, you couldn't even possibly imagine.
Well, this
and it relates.
Go ahead. It relates. Ahead. No, it relates to.
Well, it relates to the speed of light. It relates to the expansion of the universe. Then none of that stuff is true. Speed of light slows down, speeds up. We can do that all day long. Very simple. And that I've been dismissed by Fermilab. When I tell you how bad things are, this is Fermilab. We pay them billions of dollars a year to look for these particles, and they have found them. They don't know where they come from. I know where they come from because I found them too. And here they are right here. I'll show you in a second. And I'm not allowed to speak to them. They told me never to contact them again.
Well, that's funny.
It's terrible. It's really a disgrace. I just showed you what Fermilab shows. Those are the same particles.
What are they? What are we looking at?
All right. The black particle right here is a muon. All right, that's the smallest particle that exists that has mass. This is an electron neutrino. And that is exactly what I just showed you from Fermilab. You see them?
Yep.
All right. Now, and then they talk about these being the smallest particles that exist. And I contacted them. I said, I found your particles. Here they are right here. You see it? Black with the glowy edge around it.
Yep.
Black with the glowy edge around it.
And what'd they
the
say?
The glowy one. And the black can get big and, I mean, the black can't change size. The white can get big and small. So what we did was we sent them through a Venturi, which means we accelerated that light. Light is a particle and a wave. All right, they say it's a particle or a wave. No, it's both, because the particle has a big magnetic field surrounds it. So its magnetic field has to push through every other magnetic field. So it creates this glow. Now, we accelerated it into a Venturi, which is right here. When we did, the particle itself rocket ships forward faster than the speed of light, much faster, and then exploded at the Venturi and created fission and fusion. Fission means when you break a particle apart, and then when it comes back together, it's fusion. We created that. I'm not allowed to speak to anybody. I've tried them all. I even went to the University of Geneva in Switzerland for particle physics through Coursera. And I interacted with them. I showed them all this stuff. And I, because they were getting nowhere, absolutely nowhere. And they never are going to get anywhere because they're starting with gigantic. This is 1823 times smaller than the particles they're working with. We're working with light. They're working with protons, huge, huge things, and just getting nothing more than trash. When they hit their particles, all they have is debris. We're seeing the smallest particles that exist right there. And there they are. And we split them, created fission and fusion.
Who's we?
Me and Rod Warren. Just Rod Warren is, he was the one that actually came up with the design of the Venturi, but he didn't know what he had. He just did it by accident. And he, this is all done with a cell phone and a couple of nails. I'm not kidding you. And it squirted it down into the Venturi and created this. Now, I went to the University of Geneva in Switzerland. I showed them all my stuff. And I said, we're taking pictures of this with sea moss. They said, you can't take pictures with sea moss. It will destroy the sea moss. I said, no, we're working with light. You guys are working with big, heavy particles. They're working with radioactive stuff. When you, do you know if you work over there, you have to wear a badge. You can only stay in there for so long. Whenever they smash their particles, they have radioactivity. There's no radioactivity here. We're working with light. So we can see the particles. We see them split and come back together. You know what they ended up doing? And I, plus I said, you got to focus. I said, you guys aren't even focusing. They're just sending them around, 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 trying to hit them head on. They would send 100 billion particles, 100 billion. And they would be really surprised if 25 of them would actually hit. Every one of our hits, every one.
Because you're focused. So you're focusing them, which is hard to do focused. When it's that little.
I said, you got to focus and you got to use CMOS to see, because they were using what's called charge coupled devices. You ever hear the observer effect?
Yes.
Where you look at something and it changes. It doesn't change. They're putting something in there to extract energy. They're putting something in there that changes it. It doesn't change by itself. Huh. We use CMOS. CMOS means that you wait outside and whatever comes away, you pick up. That's what CMOS does. And I said, you have to use CMOS. You can't do what you're doing. You're changing the outcomes every time you look. You know what they did? And I'm not kidding you. I worked with the people right there with CERN and Fermi. I tried to work with Fermi, Don Lincoln. He was unbelievable. And he's the one who told me, don't ever contact us again. I said, I found your particles. He's the one that wrote this app. He's the one that wrote all this stuff. There it is, Don Lincoln. Want a phrase defined? Have a question? Email us.
So you emailed him and then he told you to leave me alone, go jump in a ship.
We went back and forth. I kept saying, no, Don, no, you're just an idiot. He called me a tinfoil hat guy, stay away and never come back. Don't ever contact us again. He's spending billions and billions of our dollars to find what I found 10 years ago. And he refuses to examine. This is the kind of stuff that pisses me
bad.
Off.
Well, I think it's too bad that they won't look at it. They have a arrogance and an attitude, so they won't look at anything that comes from people that aren't of their caliber or some weird thing, or it's outside of their paradigm.
It's worse than that. It's worse than that. They are siphoning money from the society. They are just filling their pockets with grants. The more confusing they can make it, the more obtuse and mysterious and, whoa, we're getting somewhere now. And you see this every day.
Probably
every
true.
Single day you can see they're getting closer and closer to coming around to what I said. They know I'm right.
It's no absolutely fascinating what you're talking about. And this stuff is even more fascinating to me than even the mud flood stuff.
You know that they just spent billions and billions of dollars with this Webb telescope and the Hubble telescope. They can't see that stuff. There's no way in the light. The light accelerates. Light slows down. The vacuum of space is nowhere near a vacuum. You want to see what's in space? I'll show you what's in space. This is what they think they can just plow through without hitting anything, and the light never slows down. That's what space is. They can't find this. They have no idea that the stuff is there. This is all the magnetic fields are in space. These are planets spin and they create these magnetic fields. They call it the gravity waves. These are real. This was done again with a cell phone. With a cell phone. Here's what they got. Whoops. Here's their big fancy. This is all they can show is this. It's some doodle they do. It's got the black ball and it's got the white ball. And they show all this. They know what I'm doing. And trust me, they know exactly what I'm doing. Because I changed everything. This is my theory right here. Dipole electron flow theory. I just showed you the black ball and the white ball. That's them right there. They understand, but they can't speak about it and keep their jobs, first of all. This is the only thing that exists is the black and white balls. Two of them together make a gluon. Two of these together make the photon, which I was showing you before.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only things that exist. And if you take 1,823 of these and add them together, you end up with this. Right there. That's what a photon is. The black all goes to the center and all of the white glowy, burny stuff surrounds it. We have always, everything you look at is only the thing you see is the white stuff because it coats everything there is. So we never saw inside. That's what the dark matter is. It's in everything. Dark matter is in every single molecule that exists. It's just we never saw it. Because the only thing that bounces back is the white stuff, and the white stuff coats everything.
Wow. I mean, this is interesting. It's just a totally different way of looking at the stuff. Okay.
There's nothing we've ever been taught that's correct. Let me put it that way, and I'll let you finish up. Go ahead.
Well, no, this is fascinating. I think people will find your work fascinating, and at least, I mean, whether it just start asking some other questions and start looking at things differently. And I don't know what the truth is, but we should be asking questions and looking at stuff. Thank you so much for coming on the program. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's really refreshing to find somebody that's interested in reality. I'm telling you, I never, ever, ever expected literally everybody to go against something that you really can't dispute it. You know, most of the stuff I present is material evidence, and not to even have it examined is just, it was stunning to me.
Well,
and now this is going on 15 years. This is 15 years. I'm not going to last forever. So when I go, everything I have has never even been seen. It'll just go in the trash.
Well, you've seen how they react with the Egyptian pyramids, and they claim it was made by elephants and in 20 years and basic primitive rock tools. I mean, if they can do that and suppress that and force that into the consciousness, they can do it on anything. I mean, we can't even lift those rocks today, the size of it. We can't even do what the pyramids did. There's evidence of laser machining tools and all sorts of stuff. But so if they can do that with the Egyptian pyramids and some of the other archaeology that's out there, they can do it with anything. Because it's so obvious.
Well, you know, they had equipment here. They had big machinery.
That makes sense to me. Do you have evidence of that?
Yes, I do.
Let's see that real quick, because that makes a lot of sense.
These, I know about these bumps too. I know what those are and why they're there. These are tendons they use. They use tendons from giant creatures. Now, this is the machines they had that were here. Now, that, as far as I'm concerned, that had to come out of the sky and was taken away out of the sky. You can't drive up to this. It was all wet. You see this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are like tank tracks. And these are, it was all wet at the same time when they took these slabs out of here, cut these slabs. And those slabs they used to build the walls down in Peru and pretty much everywhere. And they must have moved these machines around. Because you can see it's just dropped right in here. You didn't drive up to this. It doesn't look like it to me. All right. So that machine was here when everything was wet, and that was just after the giant flood.
Again, you can see the rest of this part of my interview on sarahwestall.substack.com, and we get into another really interesting topic here. But what about your book that you wrote?
Well, mine is on, it's on Amazon. It's only 99 cents. I just wanted to see people.
Okay, here, so people know. No, that's good.
Here it is, right? Minds in Collision. Mud Fossils and Velikovsky and Minds in Collision. 99 cents. I never made a penny. I don't want to make any money on this stuff. I just wanted to have people know. We submitted this head. Do you see this? To Yale. They wouldn't look at it. They refused. And they said it would have to be a CAT scan. We took it down and had a CAT scan where they said they'd have to have a cancer. Still wouldn't look at it.
What did it come back as? It was human?
Oh, the one they sent me to really just like wouldn't even really do the CAT scan on it. It came back, looked like just a black spot. And they wouldn't talk to me. And what it ended up happening was the University of Texas in Austin. And Yale said, they're the only ones we'll accept something from. Well, they didn't want to do it. They refused. And I said, no, you're going to have to do it. That's your job. And I made them do it. It came back just a black spot on the page. And they charged, I think it was $1,250.
Yeah.
And I went ballistic. And I started to harass them. And I got lawyers and police called me. And they said, if you don't stand down, you get arrested or you're sued or whatever. And what could I do? And the same head was presented on History, on History Channel, on TV. Scott Walter looked at it in less than 1 minute. He said, this is just somebody carved this. It's nothing. It's just fake. And in less than 1 minute, and that was it. And I got a hold of Scott Walter. I said, Scott, you're wrong, buddy. That thing is no question that's real. And we went back and forth, and finally he just said, well, I'm the expert, and you're nobody.
So, well, that's what they do. So did you ever get a CAT scan, DNA testing of that head? Official,
no,
I mean, for somebody that took it seriously?
No. My other stuff I did. But by this time, it wasn't my head.
This was from
Jim Birchland, Arlie Caudle down in Kentucky. And I led him down that dirt road saying, oh, it's real, no question. And it is. But they, you know, the same stuff happened to me, happened to them. So my CAT scans were everything. I had the DNA tests they wouldn't take. Now, here you see, look, the blood coming off his nose, you see it? Who carves a head like that with the nose splayed out? Nobody's going to do that. And then Scott Walters said, oh, it's just iron oxides. I said, what do you think blood is made of? What do you think blood is made out of? It's red and black because it's iron. There's Fe2O2 and Fe2O3. The O3 is the red, the O2 is the black. The same thing I showed you with Typhon in the desert. With him with the red and the black. It's always red and black. So nobody will listen to anything, and they just, that's it. Off you go. Have a nice day.
And, well, you know, I don't think we should even worry about that anymore because they're not. They're just, it is what it is. I think getting people to have curiosity and ask questions and just figure things out, it's such a healthier way to be without being scared, I think is where we need to go. And who cares? The truth will lead us to where it leads us, and that's okay.
It's a scary place.
It is a scary
place. Once you start reading Apollodorus, you go through that. All I can tell you is, the only thing I've come to realize or think, and I hope is true, is that Jesus came here to warn us. There's some serious stuff. And if you don't pay attention, you don't do what I'm telling you, you're going to be in trouble. So, and they killed him for it. And in a most terrible way. And so I'm going to be looking for Jesus. That's the only way out I can see. This stuff is real. This stuff is very, very real.
There's no
culture on the face of this planet that doesn't have giants, monsters, gods, demons, battles in the heavens, dragons. The only culture that exists that does not have that is academia.
That's true, actually. That is true.
Yeah, and they hate God. and don't come into our presence speaking about gods and stuff. That's all nonsense. Well, and even in ancient texts, it says there will be false teachers among you, and they will concoct stories, and many will follow them and be led to, you know, ruin, and their destruction does not sleep. It talks about the teachers. I'm not kidding you. The more I dug in, woo-hoo-hoo.
I think you're right. Well, thank you. And this is a long one, so part of it's going to be on my Substack, but thank you so much for joining me today. Really appreciate it, Roger.
My pleasure. You've been a pleasure. Thank you much.